Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Mystic, and today we have an amazing episode, something I've been talking about for a while, and we finally got it on the books. But today is going to be with my good friend, an author, Ken Compton, and tonight's episode is called If Walls Could Speak. So here is my friend, the author, Ken Compton.
Good evening, everybody out there in podcast land. I am indeed Ken Compton, and I am happy to be here with all of you. I hope you get just as much out of this as I am right now. So thank you for having me.
Well, no problem. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I know that we've did some kind of interactions and stuff before, and I know with you moving different companies before, and we really didn't get to talk as much, but and then the pandemic happened to where we used to talk a lot, but then once the pandemic happened, we really didn't get to talk a whole lot, but hopefully
now this changes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Glad to be here.
So how have you been?
I have been great. Been busy, with work and, got a lot of exciting projects coming, some things that I hope to share with the audience this evening. And I hope that you will join me on this amazing journey that I am about to take that we're going to dive into.
Yes, definitely. And I know once I found out years and years and years ago about you being an author, I used to give you crap about publishing and you kind of telling me your journey and everything through that, but I've always had an interest of knowing the backstory, of knowing why this came to be. So, like, my first question is, when did you know that you wanted to pursue writing?
I wanted to pursue writing. I thought about it, doing it as a hobby. My last semester as an undergrad at Truman State, I did a project, the book that I read, the class was called Philosophy and Literature. And one of the books that we had to read was a book called Bailey's Cafe. And the project assignment was to write an additional chapter for this book. And I wrote it, the title of it was called Crystal. And for those of you who are not familiar with this particular piece, it's a book about different characters. They all have, some type of issue that they're struggling with, and they end up going to this place called Bailey's Cafe. And my character, Crystal, her issue was that she was raised spoiled, basically no good for anybody. And when, she faced a few tragedies in her life, she just didn't know how to handle it because she was never taught how to really stand on her own two feet. And so she goes through all these nuances and different situations, and ultimately she ends up in Bailey's Cafe. And there's a sort of a magical realism to it. So, the idea of writing came from that. And I think magical realism has always stuck with me as far as the theme of my own writing.
Okay. And now hearing about that, that story, was that kind of your inspiration for Graffiti Park?
Actually, it was not. The inspiration for Graffiti Park came years later. That was an anthology, a story that I read in an anthology, and it was about wizards. And, each story had some type of magic element, of course, with it. So Graffiti Park was birthed out of the idea, well, I can write my own short story that could have been included in this anthology. And Graffiti Park was what I came up with. It's actually another story where there's a small element of magic, a small element of mystery. One of the most popular pieces that I have, it's been published a couple of times, once online and once in an actual publication, an actual anthology. So I did have my own magical piece published in an anthology.
Right. And I remember getting the short story version of it, and I actually took it down to my mom, who is a very avid reader. Mm-hmm. And she was hooked in the very beginning, kind of through the trials and tribulations of it, and that, and she was definitely hooked. And she told me, "Hey, as soon as this guy writes more, let me know and tell me how I can get a hold of that." And so I'm like, I of course, because I enjoyed it. I think it reflects a lot of who you are, because me getting to know you, I could see kind of some of the elements, like New York and the park, and kind of I could see kind of elements of stuff of interest and things that you were associated with. And it looks like you, and you could tell that this was written by you. But was that the very first story you wrote, or was there others before?
There were many others before. The first piece that I wrote was actually a piece called The Offering. And that actually had no magical element to it. It was a story, a story where I add a suspenseful element to it in a different sort of way. You know, the story is about an elderly woman. She is up at night walking around her home, and she passes by her daughter, her adult daughter's bedroom. She's in there with her husband, and she overhears a conversation where they're plotting to steal money from her. And she listens, and she comes up with an idea to get rid of, to solve the problem with the money, to get rid of them, you know. So the title of it is called, you know, The Offering. So,
okay.
It is not published, but if it all goes well, you will see it soon. So
yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, is with that first story you wrote, would it be relevant today and publishing or with your project? But I kind of just kind of answered that. So Graffiti Park, that was your very first published material, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And I remember hearing some of the backstory and stuff like that, but was you excited about your first publication of that, or
was over the moon? I mean, you know, authors, you know, if anybody takes interest in our stories, if it can be put out in any sort of medium, then it's always great. You know, now I have to tell you, the first time it was published online. The website is now gone. It was called Necrology Shorts. And they when they uploaded it, they skipped a few words.
I was going to get to that.
Right. So I'm like, oh, wow, you guys, oh my goodness. So I was happy to be published, but I didn't want to be published in that way where they, you know, omitted words and things like that. So luckily, some years later, I did get published in print, you know, in an anthology series. So,
yes. Yeah. And that was one of the things I was going to bring up, too, is when it was first published, I remember you telling me that it had some words that were left out, stuff like that, and I know that you said you were excited, but you didn't want to be reflected like you purposely did that, and it was actually them who did it, because I know with you and language, you're kind of a perfectionist when it comes to that. So
I try to get as close to perfection, but being an author, there's no such thing as being perfect. You can write something on day one, and by day 10, you're like, really, I wrote that? So there's a variety of different ways that you can write things. And as an author, I'm never satisfied. So I can say that I'm a perfectionist, but I never get there.
So going through that, the trials of writing and rewrites and editors along the way, can you tell people that process?
I mean, you know, it's like anything else. You get an idea. You have to sit down and write the bare bones of what you want it to be. And then in a next draft, you kind of add the organs, and then you put in all the veins and everything, or maybe vice versa. I don't know. This is an, you know, just a I'm trying to grasp onto something, but like just putting all the pieces into place, you know, like the pieces of a puzzle. You know, you start by unfolding things. You're trying to see the picture yourself. You know, you outline, you flesh it out and you put in all your elements. And then when you think you got a finished piece, sometimes it's not finished. You can show it to somebody and they'll say, oh, think about this, think about doing that. And you have to go back, do more edits. And, you know, what sounds good, like I said, on day one can sound horrible by day 10. But through a series of edits, trusting the process, you know, what really gets frustrating for me is, like I said, day one, I write something. Day 10, I don't like it. But then by day 20, I'm going back to day one, going back to how it was. But you just have to trust yourself and see how it sounds to you. And if it sounds good to you, hopefully you'll find someone else who it sounds good to as well. And then, you know, that'll be your piece. You'll put it out there in the world, send it out like you do your children. You know, you hope that you've given them everything that they need to survive. And as a written piece, you hope that you've given it everything that it needs to be soundable. So that is what I try to do.
Yeah. And I'm very excited to know about the future projects and stuff that we'll talk about later. But yeah, so on the writing process, you said you go back to day one. Do you write all this out? Like, do you have like a format of kind of, these are my ideas, or is it just in your head and as you're writing and you scrap it and then come back to it? Do you have like written down things and have like notes on what you want to see, scrap this, do this?
Yeah, like what you're referring to, I believe, is outlining. Yeah. Where you try to, like, you know, do the bare bones of it, as I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Kind of see the roadmap. And you're not, you don't have to be a slave to your outline. You know, I'm a reader of Walter Mosley, and Walter Mosley says that you have to write to discover. So as you're outlining, you know, as you're writing, you'll discover new things. You'll discover something that makes you turn left where you thought you were going to turn right, you know, and that's the excitement of writing, the things that you discover along the way. So I try to outline, but, you know, like I said, when I get to that place and I think I'm going to go right, I can end up going left, or I can just keep going straight forward and not turn at all. So that's the different ways that people have towards their creativity, just one. And that's, you know, what I do.
Nice. Now, when you come to someone and you give them a piece and they're reading it, do you take critique? Like, if someone critiques you, do you take that like with a grain of sand? Because I've always heard, kind of like, even like Stephen King did, like he threw away his one of his books, right? And then ended up getting it out of the trash and it got published, whatever. But I've always heard that you should not let anybody like totally critique yourself out of an idea or a book that you have written. I know people can make edits and things, but each person, like when they edit, they have their own point of views on what you're trying to show and stuff. But I really think critiqueness is kind of like in the eye of the beholder.
I would only take critique from someone who you know, I have great respect for their tastes, you know, and the pieces that they read, you know. So you can't, you have to have a thick skin as an author. And ultimately it's up to you, because it's your art, it's your creativity, you know, what
right.
you include, what you want to take serious from someone, you know, and it's all subjective, you know. And the story you're talking about, Stephen King, you know, he did write a piece many years ago in the 70s. He was so frustrated with it, he did throw it in the trash. His wife got it out, helped him out with it. He punched it up. Now, mind you, his first three books had been rejected, I believe, but that book that he was working on, it did get accepted, and it ended up being Carrie. So, you know, and another famous author by the name of James Patterson, you know, he's very commercially successful, mm-hmm. writes, you know, he wrote Along Came a Spider, you know, the Morgan Freeman movie. And, you know, he publishes pieces with other authors, has a nice catalog of work. And one of his biggest critics is Stephen King. You know, so you have one successful writer, And then you have another successful writer who doesn't see the big deal in his pieces. So, you know, but yet I think when it comes to book sales, James Patterson can almost match dollar for dollar with Stephen King. So, you know, even the experts tend to disagree on different things. But ultimately, like I said, it's your art and you have to just forge ahead. And it's not just with writing, but with anything. I mean, right. If George Lucas had listened to the critics back in the day, we would have no Star Wars.
Correct. You know, so. Correct. Yeah, because he did that on his own. Like, because right. he took it to get a actual company to back him, mm-hmm. and they turned it down. And basically, at that time, nobody would watch this kind of stuff.
Right, and you like I said, things change. You know, it depends on the art itself, the value of the art itself, and who chooses to pick up the stories, who chooses to watch the movies, who chooses to enjoy them. You know, so many times. When it comes to movies and books, we have movies that were panned by critics, but they go on to make $300 million at the box office. So, you know, who's really right? Who's really wrong?
Exactly. It's not really, I don't really call it a critic. I think it's called opinion because, like, what some people might not like because it didn't follow a certain agenda that they basically projected, it might be popular to others. So I absolutely agree. Now, I do want to get into your first book or your first published Graffiti Park, because that's the one that sticks to me. And after speaking with you a couple weeks ago, finding out that you actually had a part two, I am definitely going to get the second book as well. But I do want to get into Graffiti Park. I know we were going to try to get into some readings and stuff like that, but just without giving anything away, because I really do want people to go out and read and get this, because I think it's phenomenal, because, well, I have some ideas and I'll talk about that. So Graffiti Park, how did it come to be?
Graffiti Park, like I mentioned earlier, you can say in a way its father was a the book Wizards that I read, and I wanted to offer my own short story. Some years ago, they had a series out. It was called Fact or Fiction. And there was a story about a gentleman who gets robbed in a park. And he gets robbed, and he in the park, he meets this bag lady that gives him, you know, the robbers, they take his clothes and everything. And you know, and he in the park, he meets this lady. She's pushing a cart. She's basically a bag lady. And she actually, since he has no clothes, she reaches into her cart and she gives him the best thing she had, which is a superhero suit. And he puts that on and he goes and finds the perpetrators that and that he beats them up. So that's the mother of Graffiti Park. I'm like, huh, what if it wasn't a robbery? What if it were something much more severe? And what if the Irish what if it were an actual mystic? And what if the setting of this story is in a very, very mysterious part of town? What could that be? And so that's kind of the bare bones of Graffiti Park. There is a violent crime that happens at the beginning of the story. And then I introduce a detective who has his own connection to the setting of the place and to someone who witnessed this terrible crime. And we go through everything he goes through. You know, he's actually has his own demons to face as he solves this crime. And, you know, I leave a lot of room at the end for more. And that's what people ask me for. Ken, we don't feel that this is done. And it's not done. You know, that's just a short story. And the part two that you speak of will indeed be the book. You find out, you know, what happens to the actual victim who was, you know, had this terrible crime happen to her. What happens to her after the fact? What does she go? How does she continue? How does she come back from bounce back from what happened to her? So there's more to come. And I see that you have From a Black Perspective, The Blood, currently available on Amazon. And it is an anthology series, and Graffiti Park is one of the stories that is published, along with a few other stories that you may find very, very interesting. So, you know, the first book in this anthology series is From a Black Perspective, The Blood. And my short story, Graffiti Park, is indeed one of them. And if you go to that link that is currently there, you can purchase it on Amazon, and it will be for your reading pleasure.
And it's on page 73, if you guys really want to know.
There you go.
It's on page 73.
You read the whole book, you know?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Hey, look at you go.
It's right here. I've already, I have it marked and everything. No, man, I thought it was fantastic. But that open ending, I absolutely love it, because I know I've said this before to you and stuff. You can pretty much mold it and do whatever you want with it. Because I know we've talked about it before, to where you can do Graffiti Park and you can do like a book with the different colors, and each color represents part of the mysteriousness that you'd have to find out if you read it. But each color could be representative of a certain mood and part of the mystery that wraps around the story. But you then could even spin it off and do like an origin story of how this mysterious thing came to be, how it was created. And
to be honest with you, the whole idea of being different books, being different colors, is the exact direction that I am taking. You know,
you'll have
Graffiti Park, the Blue Book Mystery, the Green Book story, the Gray Book, which will delve into the history of the park itself, and some of the other items that exist in the park. And if you're familiar with the story, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to spoil it, but so I am going to see my name at the back part. Thank you so much for adding
for a small fee, you know. But no, when it's all said and done, Sean Lorenz, and actually your mother, as an avid reader and a fan of mine, you will be mentioned. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Love it. So the second one, which I am not familiar with, and you can go as far as you want with this, going into the second one, and I'll pull that up as well, and I will get the link up here. Whoop, that's the wrong one. This one. Yes, so this one, and I will go here, which
that
I don't
is have. Well, I actually have it right here, so yeah.
And I will put just to let you guys know that I am going to put all the links, any kind of the anything that we talk about social media wise and stuff like that, I will add that to the description on the podcast when you go to the listen. All the links and everything will be there. So don't worry if you do miss it on the live show part of it. I will have it in the podcast, which will go to iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Spotify. It's on six different platforms, so it'll be everywhere. So I hope this does grow, because like in the future, I do want to progress with you. I do want to follow along with your journey and see how you coming along and bring you in. Shout you out as much as I can, because I am a fan, not just your friend. I am a fan of your work, and I do get a lot of inspirations and stuff that somebody that I know with this day and age of all the people kind of doing their own thing, but you are actually doing something for the world and not just for yourself. So I think that's really cool.
All right. Thank you very much. The second book, From a Black Perspective, The People, I have a much shorter piece published there. And that's a story that's just very inspirational to me. It came thinking about my grandmother. You know, she, in the last years of her life, she always says, you know, hey, I miss Geraldine. I miss Geraldine. And so I said, hey, there's a story there. There's definitely a story there that I could, something I could use to write about. And so I came up with a gentleman who is in a hospice. And in the last portion of his life, he keeps saying, well, I miss Geraldine. I miss Geraldine. And so a caretaker, the hospital administrator, takes notice. And, you know, they're trying to figure out, well, who is this Geraldine? But of course, that's all he'll say. I miss Geraldine. I miss Geraldine. I miss Geraldine. And so she sets out to help him. And as a result of helping him, she's able to resolve a personal issue of her own. She's able to find her own closure as well. So there's that.
Cool. I'm definitely going to be purchasing that. And I am going to make a challenge that if I do get at least 50 listens on this podcast, I will give away one of your books to one of the followers of the podcast.
Hey, that sounds great.
And that's just as a thank you to everybody that has listened to all the other stuff. Cause I know like your book Graffiti Park, it kind of meets what this channel is about, because like the What If TV is the what if it, we question things. We kind of, this is like a free zone of being creative and coming to this with an open mind, with not just set your ways, to question everything and have fun and stuff. So I wanted to give back as well. So I think giving away one of your books, I think, is one of the things that would be really cool. Awesome. So my next thing is for you, what's next? What are you working on next, or what projects do you have?
One of the primary projects that I'm working on now, speaking of my stories, earlier I mentioned a short story called The Offering, one of my first pieces. I have other stories too, and I am currently setting up a YouTube page. And the YouTube page will contain my own stories, will be videos of the stories that I've written. So you will see The Offering, you will see Graffiti Park. You will see Geraldine audio listens, videos that you can enjoy. So that's coming. I have the page is in the very very it's infancy stages. You know, I don't have any videos posted yet, but like I have the bare bones there. So I'm thinking by this summer I'll start posting content, and you'll get to see other stories. And I have about 2.5 weeks ago, as you and I were speaking offline, I attended a Toy Man show, and I ran into an editor at the Toy Man show. And, you know, she has edited a book all about cats, you know, and she agreed along with the other authors to have their stories turned into videos as well. So I have permission there. You see those stories. And I, if there's anyone out there that would like their stories turned into videos, by all means, let me know. And I'll be more than happy if your material is something that I feel is, you know, something great for the masses, something that I enjoy, then I will definitely put it out there.
Cool. I've actually kind of been doing some writing on my own. And I'm gonna send you some stuff to see if it meets the Ken Compton seal of approval.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
No, but awesome on that. Definitely, I do have the YouTube link that I also post. Make sure you like, follow, share, and ring the bell on his page, so that when he does upload the content, you will get the notification and you will know when he has the episodes or the stories up there. I think it's cool. I think that's going to be an awesome thing too, because then technically, I mean, the time of that you usually would do for writing and stuff, I mean, your content is there because then you can kind of display an up and coming writer, and who knows what this could be. This could be your calling, is
right.
So I'm excited to see it. And I want to see the journey. I'm excited for that.
All right. Thank you, man. You stay soon. There's more to come.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else that you would like to talk about, or anything that you wanted to put out there? Any social media, are you going to not only have your YouTube link, are you going to also have it on like Twitter to go to your channel, any kind of like post or anything like that, or Facebook?
Yeah, as the editor of the cat stories that I mentioned, that link will be provided as well, because it all the proceeds from that go to animal rescue. And so I personally will be making a donation to the rescue of animals, specifically cats and things. And so there's some charity behind it as well. And
that's cool.
The link to that charity is one that I will supply you with as well.
Perfect. And I will have that on my page for my Twitch page. And it will be on my links on my Twitter, not just my personal Twitter, but also on the podcast Twitter. And I will have it on all the platforms that I do push out to. So, and I will definitely be making a donation, because cats, of course.
This the timing of all this was great, because I know you, like I said, we are friends, and I know how you are about cats. So
yes.
Indeed, you will see. As a matter of fact, I think I have that book here, Catstruck. So.
Oh, okay, and that's hers, correct?
Correct. So I'll you'll see these stories as well. So I'm collecting content. So it's a work in progress. Everything is building up and coming up with a lot of material. And I'm excited for what's to come with not only my writing, but with the YouTube page as well. And who knows what could become of it. You know, people can see Definitely. It, enjoy it. The page can grow. And I'm sure it will get me re-energized to continue my own work and creativity. And like I said, you know, just continue to move forward.
I love it. I love to hear that. Inspiration, kind of motivation. You don't get that a lot. A lot of people are kind of reserved and kind of in their ways, and the world is so blah right now. So, dude, I love it. So, I know I've been wanting for a long time to get you on here to talk about that as well. But
today is the day, right?
Today is the day, because I used to tease you a lot. I used to say, hey, 10 years, hey, 15 years, hey.
Everything has a timing. Everything has a timing, you know.
Like fine wine, huh?
Right. You know, like I said, in the coming years, you could see 20 stories from me in a year. You know, you never know. More to come. But like I said, it's all about the timing, all in your own personal growth. And it's a marathon and not a sprint. My journey is my journey, and I don't compare it to anyone else's who may have started 30 years ago.
No, I love it. I really don't have – normally I have games and different stuff that I like to play and stuff. But, man, I love – this is probably – I know I'm probably going to get some flack from the other viewers, but this was one I was looking forward to the most.
Okay.
And I do appreciate it. And I invite you to come back anytime you want. Anytime you're ready to talk about it, to give us updates on your journey. Maybe we'll pull in, maybe I'll have my mom on here at the same time and kind of just interject. And, because she reads a lot of Stephen King and all the other horrors, mysteries,
If I have gotten her attention and she's a Stephen King reader and she goes from Stephen King and picks up something that I've written and she enjoys it, that tells me that I am indeed on the right track.
Yo, you're definitely on the right track. I wouldn't have said otherwise. I'd be like, oh man, my friend Dr. Seuss over here.
Wow.
No, but dude, I appreciate it. I think we're good, man. Like I said, I will have all your links. I will give all the details to your journey. When they're available to me, I will definitely hook everybody up. And from time to time, in between, whenever you don't are on the show, I will definitely plug you a lot so that you can everybody else can see the journey as well. Because like I'm very inspired. Of course, I'm going to drop a couple pieces on there just to see if I can get my name in the game, too. So,
hey, all about it. I'm all about it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
It's perfect. I appreciate it. And anytime, just hit me up.
All right.
With that being said, farewell, Ken. I will end it. If you wanna stay tuned, we can kind of do some wrap ups, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. That, like I said, I was looking forward to that to the most. Ken is an amazing person. I think he's got an amazing imagination. And you could see that with his books. Graffiti Park, I'm biased on that because that's the only one that I've read so far. But now that I'm definitely going to be getting the second one. Like I said, when this hits 50 views, I will give away randomly to one of the listeners and followers of the Spotify channel. So with that being said, thanks everyone for joining. And I will have all the links and everything wrapped up in the description field whenever this is published. And I appreciate it. And thank you guys so much. Good night.